We're going to do things a little different at the Insane Asylum. We're going to talk to this gentleman Mark right Post. Here. Says one fun guy.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
So, let's do this. Introduce yourself and tell us what you're all about.
So I just started my own podcast, the One Fun Guy podcast. I've been doing it now for about 3 weeks, so I'm new to the game. But I pretty much have a cool setup. I have a bunch of guests lined up. So I'm rolling with the punches that way. So I'm just kind of learning. I've been talking to Insane Joe, and he's been kind of giving me pointers and stuff. So I'm super excited. He's like, hey, do you want to be a guest on the Insane Asylum? And I was like, sign me up. So here I am.
Now, you know what we do here on the Insane Asylum, right?
I've watched a few, so I get it. You know, I'm in your realm now, is to say. So,
but what is your realm?
So, I don't have any particular subjects or things that I talk about. I do a conversation style podcast, so I basically have a guest on and we kind of just talk. I usually have them with me, so I pan the camera to the panoramic side and we just talk. So I don't necessarily have a special subject or anything in particular. Depending on who my guests are, that's what we talk about. So my first guest was my wife. She owns a business. We talked about being an entrepreneur. So my second guest was a fellow law enforcement officer. We talked about, you know, some of the mental health issues that go along with law enforcement. So depending on who I have on is what my subject's going to be. So I don't have any particular, like, I know you guys focus on, you know, the paranormal and the, I kind of go with the flow.
Paranormal, cryptids, unexplained, UFOs, stuff like that. That's what we mainly go for.
Yeah, which is awesome, because I was just at a dinner last night and me and the guy sitting next to us, we were talking about UFOs pretty much the entire night.
So. Well, you know, some people claim that UFOs aren't real. They just, you know.
Sure.
They don't believe in them, but me personally, I've seen way too much shit in this world to not believe. I've seen several.
There's a good share though. There's a good share out there though that are misidentifications. UFO, and people like, you know, out there, and it gets criticized because they say, "Oh no, it's not that. It's this is what it is."
But well, yeah, like I've said before, a UFO, anything is a UFO if you're bad at identifying what's in the air.
Right, exactly. Sure. Thank you.
Well, it's a UFO until you can actually identify it. But the thing is, now this morning, I had kind of an experience this morning on my way to work. I live in Watertown, Wisconsin. It's a little community out in the middle of nowhere.
Waterloo, you said Waterloo.
I meant Waterloo. Excuse me. Waterloo, Wisconsin. He's Watertown. I'm Waterloo. But we're about 3 miles from Marshall? And
roughly.
I think about 19 miles from his place or up there. So anyway, I'm on my way to work, and I go to work at stupid o'clock in the morning because I gotta be there at, you know, early, get everything prepped, ready. You know, get my cargo on board and go. But so it's still dark out whenever I leave. Well, you know, today, this morning was cloudy. You had some clouds because we had snow yesterday, you know. So there shouldn't have been any lights in the sky. Well, on my way to Marshall, before I got to Marshall, there was a light that emanated from the north and it went across towards the south. And it moved at a pretty damn good clip, pretty quick. And there was no flashing. There was no, like, clearance lights or anything like that. Now, I'm not exactly sure what it was. Don't know if it was an aircraft of some sort that's man-made. But here's another example for you. Not more than 2 to 5 minutes after I see this light, another one appears. This one is actually an airplane. You can see it coming in. You can see the clearance lights flashing. You can see that it was going a hell of a lot slower than this other one was. So I don't know what the first one was that I see.
What highway were you on?
I was on Highway 19.
So is that the same one where you got that picture that's held up under scrutiny?
Nope.
That wasn't on 19 when you lived out Marshall and you got that one?
The one I got, the picture I took, that one was on Highway T. And I used my Galaxy S5 when I took that picture.
I had one couple days ago on Highway 59 between Milton and Whitewater. There was a light up in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another one that was slightly lower off to the side. And there was a line of a light between them. And all of a sudden, the one that was lower kind of rocked back and forth like this a couple times. And then just shot off. And then the other one just faded out.
There's a good stretch of Highway 59 that's got a lot of activity.
Yes, there is. There is. So, anyway, Mr. One Fun Guy, you didn't introduce yourself. You didn't tell anybody your name or anything like that.
Oh, well, my name's Marco. I live in Illinois, so I am not a Wisconsinite, but I did go to school in Wisconsin, so I am familiar with the state to the north of us. I'm 43 years old. I'm married. I live, like I said, I live in Yorkville, Illinois. So,
and then you mentioned law enforcement.
Yes.
Okay. So here's the thing. Here's a question for you, and then you can answer if you want or not. Being in law enforcement, I'm sure you run across a lot of crazy crap. And being 43 years old, not sure how long you've been in law enforcement, but I'm sure you've probably had to work that night shift at some point. Have you had any kind of experiences like that being out on in the field?
So I will say this. The correlation to people and their psyche with a full moon is real. as much as you can deny,
I believe that.
If there is a full moon out, people start acting more. I don't know if it's the universe and the way it works, but that's one correlation in the 16 years I've been in law enforcement, is that I make that connection first and foremost. So there's definitely that. As far as seeing things, as much as it is, a lot of what we break down to what a person would call crazy is like mental health issues. So people with schizophrenia, that's very real. They are tough to deal with. You throw in narcotics, and alcohol, and any other kind of substances into that mix, and it gets worse. So we try to deal with it from a personal standpoint to deal with the issues that are in front of you. Obviously, a lot of them are split decisions, so you're on the fly. We don't have the luxury of waiting until the next court date to make a decision. We are in the moment. So a lot of the stuff that, I've seen in terms of people that are really out there, a lot of it is the mental health issues.
Yeah.
Whatever they're dealing with, whether they're bipolar and they're super high, or, again, somebody has, an insane amount of drugs in their system, PCP, cocaine, and they just been on a bender. So it's hard to deal with. I've been pretty fortunate to where I've been in controlled environments with those kind of people where backup has come. I have, enough guys behind me. The big thing is to try to call it out, get as many people there as you can, and try to deal with it in that kind of situation, because a one-on-one doesn't always go your way.
Right. So take the human aspect out of it. I mean, like, just have you ever seen, have you, like, when you've been out cruising around doing your job, have you seen any weird things in the sky?
Honestly, no. You know, every once in a while, you know, something will catch up. We, you know, we live next to Chicago, so the whole sky is lit up with city lights. So I know you guys are more like, you know, kind of desolate, and you know, you're not near a big city. Your sky is probably, you could see the stars probably pretty clearly. You know, with our area being more urban, Chicago cast that giant light over our sky. So it's very hard to see things past, you know, normal airplane kind of stuff. We don't get that dense, deep darkness that you would get, you know, being in upper Wisconsin, which is a beautiful sky. You know, you get to see everything super clearly. Unfortunately, in Illinois, being so close to Chicago, we don't get that. We get that overcast of the skyscrapers.
You get you definitely get the light, light pollution there.
Yeah. So as far as seeing anything, you know, being on nights or anything like that, you know, a lot of it more or less is if you see something, you're like, man, did I really see that? Or am I just running on 3 hours of sleep? And, you know, it's kind of, you know, getting the disillusionment of what's, you know, real at that point, you know, just because you're so tired and you've been up for, you know, 14, 15 hours and you're at the tail end of everything and things kind of just come and go. But I don't really remember, honestly, any incident where I could be like, wow, I saw that in the sky, or, you know, I saw that, you know, I don't ever remember seeing anything that particularly stands out to be like, wow, this is kind of, you know, me and my wife do travel, so we do take cruises. And I'll tell you, being in the middle of the ocean at night, you know, looking up into the sky is an awesome experience. So if you've never
that
been on
a cruise. Yeah, if I ever got the opportunity to take a cruise, I think I'd be bringing my cameras with me and my
night vision
scopes.
So when I'm on the cruises,
go out on the promenade with my night vision.
Yeah, that's where I kind of just go on the balcony and look into the sky. You see the moonlight glisten all over the water. I mean, you don't realize how bright the moon is when it's desolate darkness and you're on a big body of water. Like, it is an incredible thing. So it's really weird because with all the military guys, like being on boats and stuff, you know, and them seeing stuff, it's really, when you're in a wide open sky like that, that's when you would see the majority of everything.
Kinds of things.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, but I mean, I don't think we're the only life form on the planet. So as far as that goes, like we are not alone in that realm.
The only intelligent life.
Now, besides what Janet asked, because she asked one, have you ever gotten called about ghosts? There's a lot of stories floating around and sightings in Chicago area.
Yeah, there. So
Mothman.
Actually, that was not within the last couple of years. They've been saying that there's been sightings of the Mothman over by Chicago's O'Hare Airport area.
Yeah, so we have that. I think our biggest one, and it was actually really kind of cool. It made a whole bunch of headlines this Halloween with the Tesla. Did anybody see that with Resurrection Mary? So a guy was driving a Tesla in the cemetery in Chicago where Resurrection Cemetery is, and the Tesla picked up all these orbs, and no one was in front of him. And the Tesla shines the light, you don't see anything, but on his screen, because Tesla has like 39 cameras.
They have that sensor.
Yeah, the things are floating around in front. Yeah. It was the most like bizarre thing. And he was, and again, Resurrection Mary's our big one. So people say that she haunts the road.
Yeah.
She haunts the cemetery. People can see her and they take pictures with the camera. People bring infrared cameras. They bring their night vision. They bring in, and you see her pretty clearly with all these, you know, obviously you guys know the technology. I don't know the terms of the cameras, but what they bring out.
We have infrared.
That cemetery is on my bucket night list. Vision.
We have the standard cameras. So I've got Tanya, Joe's wife, Tanya, and I both have a Canon, one of the Rebel 100, I think it is. We both have
different cameras, lens attachments.
We both have cameras that will video in the the night vision setup. Mm-hmm. I've got extenders so I can actually have a wider range of infrared lighting for my night vision camera. I've got a spotter scope that I have a camera that I can put on that will film in infrared.
And we've got three different video cameras.
Four.
Oh, you got two now?
I found it.
Oh, you found it.
The one I thought those guys walked off with it. And
the one that you thought was stolen, you found it?
Yes, yes.
So you're back to having the exact same one I got, like,
yes,
you bought the first time.
Yes.
Nice.
This is funny, Marco. I had some guys, when I bought my house in April of 22, I had some guys come in. I contracted them through Angie's. Okay, Angie List. Mm-hmm. Had them come in, put a sliding door in, a sliding patio door, and a brand new front door in. Well, they got the front door in, no problem. They started working on the sliding door, put a big hole in my damn dining room, back, and then got everything put in and left it for a week without finishing up. And I was trying to get a hold of them for the entire time. And they never came back. They never contacted me back until I fired them from the job.
Okay.
I called Angie's List and I'm like, what can I do about this? And they're like, well, you can fire them from the job. I said, good, fire them from the job. I don't want them anymore. So my neighbor, before he moved out, he came over and helped me finish everything up. They took part of my damn siding off. I had to put the siding back up. So we got that all finished and I put the stuff in. But while they were here, I caught them three times trying to put my tools in the trunk of their car. And then my video camera, the same one I got that Joe's got, up and disappeared. And we couldn't find it. And I figured these guys walked off with it.
Took it, yeah.
Yeah, because we thought it was out in the open.
Right, right. Over a year, we couldn't find this thing. Here, I think it was at the beginning of the year or just before Christmas last year, my girlfriend is trying to put something in one of the drawers in the kitchen, and it just didn't want to fit. And she kept pushing it, and she felt it hitting something. So she empties out the drawer, and the last thing she pulls out is the goddamn camera that we were looking for over a year.
It was in one of those drawers?
It was in the drawer in the very back.
Oh, wow. Because we searched those suckers, too, but I guess
we didn't search hard enough. I'm trying to figure out how the hell it got in there. I have activity in this house. This house is built in 1900.
Okay.
This house is 124 years old. I have activity. I've heard scratching on the wall, not in the wall, on the wall. It's I've heard a man's voice. Bad.
Don't let him pull you.
I got woken up by a woman, a woman apparition, standing in my doorway. And she moved out of the doorway when I woke up and seen her. She moved. She like darted. And I got up and I was looking, and there's no other place for her to go up here. I mean, I got three bedrooms and a bathroom and then stairs. And the only way out is down those stairs.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
For ghosts that you have seen, do you think that they're here to like be guides to us, or are they here to haunt us? Or a little bit of both.
Some of them are here because they don't know how to move on. They don't know how to cross over.
Okay.
And then they also have unfinished business. A lot of them do. You know, things that they haven't completed that they had wanted to complete, or they feel that they didn't make the contact or set things right with like their kids or their family before they passed on. So that'll actually unresolved issues in their lives or that they feel are unresolved can also hold them here on this plane. Some are here just to be here and just to be assholes. And that one right there next to me in this screen, he'll be that way once he's gone. He'll
I'm the nicest
around.
Asshole you've ever met.
He'll stick around. around just to be an asshole.
I told you, I'm not going to die, though. I've already died. I've already done that, been there, done that. And now I'm a vampire. I'm going to live forever. But no,
there are different reasons for spirits to be here.
Yeah, okay. Too many to list.
And there are, some people that experience the spirits and the energies, it are connected in some way to that spirit.
Well, that's like Tom's house, Tom and Molly's house.
If they would have that house right now, it would be cleared because I would have went in there and actually
it's not that
trapped that energy. But
once we figured out what that, you know, through all the people that went there, not just us, the psychics and stuff that Tom and Molly had in, once they figured out it was a little boy named Tommy, here's my theory.
It wasn't.
No.
It wasn't a little boy.
But let's just say
Tommy.
Well, let's just say the person was right, though, because most of the stuff that was going on there was harmless.
Until the end.
Yeah.
Up until the end.
There could have been more than one spirit there, too.
Yeah, well,
a lot of them was just playing jokes and pranks on Tom when Molly wasn't there trying to, he thought he was going nuts.
I get that. But the thing is, it was not the spirit of a little boy.
No, we don't. It could have been more than one.
No, it was something worse. There was something bad in that house. Wow. They needed to get out of there, especially after Molly got pregnant and was going to have a baby. They needed to get the hell out of that place.
I gave them
protection
anyways.
I gave both of them protection stones. Anyway, I let them choose these stones. And then the next time we went over and seen them and talked with them, whatever the hell this thing was, broke Tom's stone, like split it. So it had an affinity for him. It wanted to mess with him. I'm not sure what it actually was. I didn't get the opportunity to really dig deep into it to figure out what this entity was. Because they had enough and they left. They sold the house and moved on. And I don't blame them. Honestly, don't blame them.
Oh, they got the hell out of that town completely.
I know. Well, there's something about that town, too.
Grafton. That's what I'm saying. You know, when I was, you know, well, we have a habit of... Hey,
talk amongst yourselves. Give me a minute. I got to use the bathroom quick.
You know, Jesse will agree with me. If you go into a place and there's like more than one location that's got activity in the same little tiny town, curiosity for me started getting the best of me, so I started researching the town.
Right.
Okay.
Can I ask a quick question though? In terms of like the situation that he just said with the person that he gave the stone to and it broke the stone, does that mean that this spirit would just be in that particular house or area, or does it follow the person?
No, it ain't gonna follow. I don't think it'll follow Tom. It's attached to the house, but I think it might be more attached to the town itself.
It's entirely possible, though, that like if it wasn't attached to that location, like or even sometimes even if they are attached to a certain location, if they will latch on to certain people because of like their energy and, you know, just being able to feed off of them, that it is possible for a spirit to leave the location and follow them. But
in this case, it didn't happen because he's been away from there for a while and nothing's been happening. Because I talk to the guy regularly, quite often, I should say. Because he was somebody that, when I was in your shoes, you know, we were just starting our podcast. Him and his girlfriend helped Mark and I get started.
Okay.
You know, by giving us all the pointers and what to use. And that was before StreamYard was invented.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a huge...
If we were going to have a guest, they would have to be in the same room. We had like a camera, and Mark and I were sitting in the same room.
And, yeah, it's a great advantage as a side note to have somebody give you pointers and like tell you what to do, because obviously without the advice you've given me, Joe, like I wouldn't have had
and
like,
then,
I would have known the platform right. or anything. So, I mean, it helps a lot. So I appreciate
and they
it.
Did the, and they did the same thing that where we're having you as a guest on our podcast and having fun talking and stuff. They did the same thing for us. A couple of times, I think we were a guest on their podcast where we actually went to their studio and appeared live. This was all before StreamYard, and then it was
very cool
the other way around.
All before COVID, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was all before COVID. Oh, yeah, it's back in 2017.
Yeah.
All right, I'm back. So,
but that whole town, getting back to the point, that whole town, when I did research, there was a lot of things that didn't make sense.
A lot of weird stuff in that town.
And missing documents that should be there on record. Like when the fire department started, when it was founded.
Why? How do you trace the age of a spirit? Like, how would you say they've been there for 50 years, 100 years, Civil War? How do you know?
A lot of times, okay, when the energy is released, at the time that it's released, they'll maintain their fit, their shape, their what they wore during that time.
Okay.
So, you know, Civil War soldiers.
Yeah, that's usually
and then
they see them Civil War soldiers all the time.
Right. And then you got the women, the way they're dressed. I mean, some of them dressed in these like Victorian type dresses,
period costumes,
right? Period dressing.
Okay.
Like the woman that woke me up, the figure that woke me up, she was in more of a period type dressing, probably I'd say around the 1920s.
Okay.
You know, but yeah, I've had. I don't know if your mom ever liked this stuff, the that perfume that you'd get from Avon. It's like a flowery type of perfume.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about though.
Okay. I have that smell every now and then on my stairwell on the landing at the top of my stairwell. That smell is there.
Okay.
That perfume smell is there. And there's nothing in that area that should have that kind of smell.
Okay.
And I don't think Lisa owns perfume, does she?
Yeah, she does, but she doesn't have anything that smells like that.
Right. So now is it kind of like the because most of my ghost stuff is basically based off of movies, because I'm not really into it like you guys are. But is it like the older the spirit, the stronger it gets?
Not necessarily.
Kind of a movie.
I think a lot of it depends on how the spirit learns how to manipulate the in between, the energies that it's made from and the energies that it can absorb. Some spirits can absorb energy, some spirits won't. I think a lot of the strength of the energy or the strength of the spirit is determined on how well it can manipulate its surroundings.
Okay.
How it learns, you know, believe it or not, the movie Ghost, how he's learning how to move objects. They kind of got that right.
Okay.
Kind of.
So then mediums are real?
Mediums?
Yeah, is that
mediums?
That was like Whoopi Goldberg was the...
Yeah, mediums are
real. Yeah.
Okay.
Medium psychics.
They sure. are, but...
There are a lot of frauds out there, too.
There are those out there that fake it. That, you know, they know how to con. They know how to do the conning and figuring things out.
Okay.
But there are those of us out there that can sense energies. We can see spirits. We can experience the other side being in our physical bodies. We can, like for me, for instance, I can actually see auras.
Okay.
I can see a person's aura, and I can see the aura of a spirit too, if I really, you know, put my mind to it and concentrate on it.
So now, is that something? How did you figure that out? Was that something you were kind of like born with?
Yep.
Like a sixth sense, or is that something you developed?
I was born with it, and if you're not, a lot of people are born with it. But if they're not trained or can't understand it or don't have people who know that to teach them any of that.
Okay.
You know, for some people, it's scary. It scares them, and they press it. They stamp it down. They hold it in. They don't let it out. And at that point, you know, sometimes that can really drive you crazy too, especially if you're not understanding what it's about. And what and why you have that. My mom was a sensitive, and her grandmother was a sensitive. Her mother never got it. And usually the way it went in my mom's family is only the women were able to get to experience that kind of an ability, and it skipped a generation.
Okay.
I'm the first male in my mom's family to have it, to be able to use it, and it never skipped a generation.
Okay.
At that point. And then now my daughter claims that, you know, she's been able to see spirits too. I caught her when she was 4 years old playing with her cousins that had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in their house. Okay. We lived in California at the time. We were in the trailer the double wide trailer home that belonged to my brother, who had these twins, but these twins were stillborn.
Okay.
We named them and everything. So, you know, so they'd have headstones on the graves and everything. I come in from doing something outside looking for my daughter because of, you know, we were going to get ready to go somewhere. And I couldn't find her anywhere. And I kept, you know, I was like looking around. I could hear her, you know, sound like she's playing. So I thought she was in her room. So I went in her room. Well, she wasn't in her room. But I could still hear her. So I'm like, oh, that's strange. What the hell is she doing in the closet? So I go over and I open the closet door, and she's sitting there on the floor, light off, in this damn closet, laughing, giggling, playing. And I'm like, Kayla, what the hell are you doing in here? Well, I'm playing with the boys, Dad.
Hmm.
What do you mean playing with the boys? Yeah. So, you know, then she named them off, and they're my cousins. And it hit me at that point. She's playing with the twins that were stillborn. Their spirits were still around at that time. And she was in that closet, and she was playing with them. And I never seen a ball move or anything like that. So, and she had a ball in there with her.
Right.
So I don't know. Honestly, don't know if they were pushing the ball back and forth with her or any of that stuff. But she was 4 years old at the time that this all happened.
Sure. So now when you say at the time, like, so the twins at that time that she was playing with them, at what time, like at what point, I guess, would they decide to move on? Is that like up to the spirit, or is that, how does that
work? A lot of times it's up to the spirit. Again, like I said, sometimes, you know, they get stuck here because of unresolved issues or things that, you know.
Would that be based on religion, depending on like what denomination you are, if you believe in an afterlife or a heaven and other people just don't?
No, I don't know. I don't think it's really determined on religion.
Okay.
I mean, it's just, you know, some people believe in it. Some people don't.
Sure.
I know actually people who were highly religious, you know, followed the Bible, followed the teachings and everything else, and then had experiences happen to them, knowing full well that the Bible couldn't explain it to them. other than tell them it was demons.
Okay.
Okay. And then find out that they're not that they're not experiencing demons. They're experiencing what the paranormal community is telling them is actual spirits that are here trying to accomplish what needs to be done.
Okay.
So, you know, and I've seen people convert, just completely convert from being uber religious to beliefs in the paranormal and start actually understanding that they have that ability and start developing it.
Some of those people don't have to be uber religious, as you say. No. They're just non-believers. They're like some of those hardcore scientists that have to have 100% proof, fact, you know. And so, you know, not necessarily uber religious, they just don't want to believe.
Right. Exactly.
You know, I mean, and then some people aren't necessarily born with their gifts either. Sometimes it takes a tragic event to happen.
True.
You know,
that is true. Kind of like somebody next to me in the screen here.
Yeah, like what happened to me. You know, where when I was diagnosed December 4th, 1995 with leukemia, and it was so bad that they basically said to me, you're not going to live to see Christmas. 3 weeks away. Well, anyway, I had what they call, what is that, an out-of-body experience.
He died 5 times.
Mm-hmm. You know, and one time I had an out-of-body experience, you know, where I'm sitting there. I could see what was going on, like I'm floating above my body. But I also ended up out in the waiting room where at the time, and my mom had these really, if she'd get stressed out too much or something, she'd have some heart issues, not necessarily heart attack. It was like heart racing or something. They'd have to use rods to calm her down. So they were out in the waiting room. My mom was out in the waiting room in an hysterical state, and they were trying to take care of her, and they put her on a gurney, and I saw this, and then all of a sudden I got brought back to my body, apparently. And I'm going, you know, my brother's like, you know, my brother and my stepfather, Mike, good nature, and my dad, we're all in that little emergency room area. And I looked at Dwayne, and he's like, "Are you okay? He's okay. You're going to be okay." You know, and I said, "How's mom doing?" He says, "Don't worry about mom." And I said, "I already know what happened. Is she okay?" You know, he's like, "She's fine. Don't worry about it." You know, but now she had one of her issues.
Right. Well, basically, with his near-death experience, that opened it up for him.
Sure. But so there's obviously a big community of people like yourselves where most people would, if they have an open mind like I do, would be able to see every different viewpoint. Because like Joe mentioned earlier, there's scientists that want the facts, but then there's people that have an open mind and can kind of see both sides of it. You know, that's where I stand. So I would think that what the work you guys are doing and putting into it and making it known, that would probably just be as big as the side that says, let me just see the facts now, right? You would think that there would be a bigger community leaning towards you guys now.
Well, there, I suppose like when Dale started back in 74, you know, if you talked about it too much, they would put you in a nut house.
Yeah, back then it was always looked upon as being people.
I think as people opened their minds, it became more socially acceptable to talk about it.
Yeah.
Right. And I think also, you know, going off of, you know, just trying to search for and get those facts and proof and everything. You know, we've had so much just steps in that direction and there's been a lot of physical proof that has been shared and released that it's bringing more of those scientific side people into the field to get more, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So obviously the movie that kind of put me over the top with the spirit world when I first saw it back in 2012 or 2013 was The Conjuring. So
okay.
I took it for what it was, face value. But once they showed at the end of the movie, the Warrens, who were actually spirit and ghost hunters, I kind of Googled them and was like, this is kind of cool. That kind of got my mind down the rabbit hole, as they say, to what is actually out there and people who study this and like they made it their livelihood.
That's like, a real house too. Yeah,
they did. Yeah. It was based on true story, but you got to realize these true stories the ones that are based on true stories that Hollywood put together. Hollywood's it.
Right. I get it.
Yeah.
Perfect. It's always Hollywood it. And it's sure. Because if you follow the storyline, the way it was written, the way it's done, the true story, there's no dramatization to it. There's no excitement to it. You know, there's look, that thing moved over there. Who touched it?
That's because the real story isn't always as interesting. And then you get those ones that are just in it for that 15 minutes of fame. Perfect example.
I mean, the Warrens are pretty well known too.
Yeah, they're pretty well respected in the paranormal community.
Yeah.
But perfect example of that is like the Amityville house.
Yep.
The true story is about Ronnie DeFeo, you know, and how he murdered his parents and siblings in that house, you know, but his story kept changing and so on and so forth. And he claimed dark spirits made him do it or something, you know, that's the true story of what happened in that house. Now comes that family that moves in that the movie's based on, the original. I can't remember their last name. Huh?
It's the Amityville Horror. I can't remember.
Yeah, but what was the last name of that family that moved in after? Anyway, they started claiming that the house was possessed and all that stuff you saw in the Amityville movie. They started claiming that stuff. The priest said there was dark spirits here and all of that. And basically, everything they did was just for 15 minutes of fame. They all made money on it. The lawyer, the attorney, the priest, they all got money out of that one.
Yep. That's pretty much it.
The true story is pretty brutal to begin with.
Sure.
And I'm sure there's probably some activity in that house, but it's nothing like they claimed it was.
No.
Right. So that's kind of what I was saying, though, like, because obviously all the horror movies I watched, with whether they're ghost stories or possessions or hauntings, like The Conjuring was the one that kind of resonated with me because they actually put two real people behind it. And so when I looked into the like what they did and how they actually the equipment they had at the time and what they were doing and going around the country and finding all, like, I was intrigued by that versus just a horror story or like the Amityville, like you took it for the movie form. But there was really no, like, you know, substance behind it versus like The Conjuring that actually like were like these are real people and this is what. So that for me, that's what did it. That's kind of what opened my eyes to say to this. So kudos for Hollywood for that then, I guess.
Honestly, you know, the Warrens are the ones that own Annabelle.
Yeah. Okay.
I would do this on camera. I would give that doll a hug.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well,
because I'm not afraid of her
before we get out to that Warren Museum.
That's the thing. I'm not afraid of her because I think, honestly, I think that she's misunderstood.
Yeah,
because I think that Warren Museum's on the East Coast somewhere.
I'm not certain where it's at. We'd have to look it up and find out. But yeah, I mean, I've seen so much in my life. I started practicing Wicca whenever I was like 14 years old. So I had an interest in it for a long time. And of course, you know, I was raised in a Christian family.
Oh, there you go. There's the answer right there.
Monroe, Connecticut. Yep. Ask Janet. She knows everything. So, but no, I was born in a Pentecost family. My mom and dad were Pentecost and always made us go to church. And I gave up on the church because I got tired of going and hearing the same sermon every damn time. How if you don't follow what the Bible says about God, you're going to hell.
No, I don't walk.
And they would tell us that crap in Sunday school too. You go to Sunday school and that's what they were trying to pound in our heads. We have to be like Christ and be like God and do this and do that, or you're going straight to hell when you die and all this other stuff. Yeah. And it's like, really?
It's pretty amusing because when me and Joe first started talking, he goes, are there any subjects on your podcast that you won't touch? And I said, religion and politics. I said, so it's funny that we talk about it, but I mean, like, you know, what people don't know about the world, if they are sheltered and they don't realize like what is happening now, like this all ties into what you were saying earlier, because if you look at the Catholic Pope right now, he is making some decisions that are very, very anti-religion and what he's doing. And if you believe, you know, in the three popes, that there's a gray pope, a white pope, and a black pope, and that they're the ones that rule the world. Like if you get into that kind of whole, you know, Mason Illuminati type thing, if you've ever done that before. But I mean, that's kind of where like we are now, where it's like most people, like I grew up Catholic and I still believe, but you know, 43 years into it. And I look at what's going on in Italy right now in Rome, and it's like within the Catholic Church, you scratch your head because the decisions that they're making aren't very good ones.
Well, so, the decisions that they're making, I think honestly, with the decisions that he's making are trying to play to both or to all, not just the main religion of Catholicism, but to everyone. Okay,
right, I get that,
but then be fair to everyone.
Right, but so
if you're going to be representing your religion, then you got to be true to your religion.
So that's my point, is that you can play the whole world against each other, right? You want to be accepting of everybody, you want to be, but the Bible doesn't say that. So you, as a figurehead, he's making decisions for acceptance and people of all kinds of creeds and orientations and. But that goes against what the book says. So that's just kind of where, if you are, you know, not to, like I said, to get religion or political, but like, that's kind of where I think a lot of the, you know, open-mindedness now stems from to actually see what's out there. And if you do the research for yourself and you kind of, it's, you know, people live sheltered lives, unfortunately.
Well, you can't believe on one thing for so long and let the world move ahead around you, you know. I mean, these people that believe in these ancient Bibles or have an ancient text that they follow because they're whatever they are, whatever group they are, if they don't move with the times,
right,
they're going to get lost eventually.
But to be honest with you, now we just come full circle to what we talked about in the beginning with the UFOs, right?
Yeah.
But these images go back to prehistoric times. So.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
predating mankind now to foreign beings that are 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 years old. So, you know, what we know as modern people, these, you know, UFOs date us back hundreds of thousands of years.
Yeah. So, you
know, there is a new perspective story that I've seen. And I'm not sure if this guy did a webinar or if it was a TED talk or what, but he was talking about, the fact that the top leading, nations of this of our planet know about this alien craft that is under the ice in Antarctica. It's been there for like 50,000 years. And that's where a lot of our advanced technology over the last 100 years has come from.
Yeah.
And that's where the Renaissance, or the not the Renaissance, but where the turn of the century of 1900s, where everything started, you know, the revolution of the Industrial Revolution was at the turn of the 1900s. And that's where all of our technology boom has come from, is the back compatible, you know, backwards engineering of all the stuff that was in this ship. This is what he was talking about. So that's why he said, that's why you won't have a true aerial picture of Antarctica. Because it's always going to be covered over.
So, right. So that's the big, the other side of the argument is that kind of where, like, I don't know, are you guys familiar with Dr. Greer, Stephen Greer?
Yep.
Okay, so he goes on.
I like that man. He's pretty good.
Right. So he correlates a lot of alien technology to our modern military, which is what he knows, right? He's worked for the government for 35 years. So he's been an advisor to all the presidents and briefed them on UFO craft and alien and stuff.
Yep.
But that's where the Arctic Circle becomes a question based on the theory of flat Earth. I know there's some people that are like, you know, the sphere, but there is a lot of truth to what is on the other side. They say there's a mirror Earth that we've never been told about. And that's why we can't go over the Arctic Circle, because we would find it. So it's intriguing that, you know, we don't know what's out there.
Mirror Earth, maybe. If they're saying mirror Earth, I'm thinking more portal through the veil of that divides our universes.
Right. And so that kind of touches on what, like, Tesla was working on with time travel. And, you know,
Robert Byrd, Admiral Byrd, you know about him?
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that took and explored the Arctic and allegedly flew into the hollow Earth. Well, he claims it was a portal going into the center of our Earth. But I'm thinking, listening to what you said there too, is that it's a possibility that what he thought was a portal going into our Earth, or an opening going into our Earth, was an actual portal that took him into the other universe.
Right.
The mirror universe, basically. And he's seen what they had of what that Earth was, thinking that he was inside of our planet.
Right. And it's interesting back through. Because even now, like the last couple of years, like with the whole, you know, the Buzz Aldrin thing and the Arctic exploration and the stuff he says. Now, I wasn't there, so I don't know. I'm just taking a guy's word for it. But he said what you would see in the Arctic, you wouldn't believe what is out there. You know, some people call it the portal to hell, that they like. So there's something there, because more than
a lot there.
One person has said this. So I don't know. I kind of, you know, I'm really not a conspiracy theorist in that, but I'm very open minded to the fact that these things do exist and people have seen them, and you have to take it for face value, if, you know, because now you have multiple stories that aren't conflicting anymore. You have your top scientists, your top astronauts, and your top military members going down there saying something is happening in the Arctic.
Oh, there is. It is.
Oh, yeah.
And you gotta realize too, I mean, for the last, since the turn of the 1900s, when the Industrial Revolution came about, and we started as the parasites we are, started pumping this carbon dioxide in the air, we've been warming up this planet's atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when you warm up the atmosphere? It tends to melt the permafrost. It tends to melt the glaciers. It tends to melt the ice layers a lot faster than they're supposed to be melted. And what happens when you do that? It starts exposing things that are under the ice. It starts releasing gases that shouldn't be released. It starts releasing bacterium that had been frozen for thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of years, you know? Sure. So that's where some of our new diseases are coming from, because we're releasing, because of the permafrost thawing out, it's releasing these damn things into the air. You know, it's releasing gases that were trapped that humans haven't had to deal with before.
Right.
Because this is all before humans.
So would you correlate the Arctic with more of the Stargate theory then, that it's a portal? Is that what you kind of think?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, now you bring up another little subject too, is Stargate. Okay. Now, yeah, we're talking now. I'll throw us into that realm of Stargate where it's the series, okay, as a television series. But what's to say that some of these were not given to producers and directors in Hollywood by military intelligence to jade the public to the possibility that these things are there?
So
that we actually have a device that may have been, maybe this 50 million or 50,000 year old ship is real, and there's a device on it that allows us to travel to different parts of this galaxy or different
planets. Right. So I'm always if somebody can dream it and think of it, there has to be somebody who knows something about it. And that's kind of where my mindset's always been, on whether Hollywood has their touch on it, like we talked about earlier. There has to be some truth for somebody to come up with these ideas. And there has to be an implemented design, because you could have the best screenwriters in the world and the best writers. The stuff that they can dream up is awesome. But when you start talking about math and science, and it leaves the fiction world and it starts to become, there has to be something of somewhat information driven that says, hey, this could be the possibility. And somebody saying, well, you know what? It's definitely not a could. It's an is. And so I definitely agree that there are a lot of people, you know, whether they're whistleblowers or whether they're just kind of loose on the lips one night and say, hey, you're never going to guess what I saw. Because, like I said, I've watched a lot of the interviews with Stephen Greer, and he is very loose-lipped on what he talks about and what he saw. And he will talk about dispositions that he gave to several U.S. presidents about briefing them on alien being and what actually is. So there has to be some realism of what this guy saw in you know, miles and miles and miles of underground Arizona desert where these facilities are, when we all thought that, oh, it's just kind of a hoax. And he says that they're very real.
Yeah.
You know, all these military bases that have underground, you know, miles and miles of underground, he goes, that those exist. So now we know that that's real.
You know, when you get like, that goes across all the stuff paranormal, you get enough people seeing the same thing, and their sketches look like this person's sketches, and they all look the same. It's got to be out there. And then it goes back to what I say at the end of all our shows. Anything's possible.
Yeah, and I 1,000% agree. Because obviously, when you talk about a subject and one person says it, you can be like, that guy's kind of kooky. You know, maybe he saw something. And then you get another person that says, hey, this guy's, you know, was not wrong. This is what I saw. And you have a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth person coming back saying, this is what I saw. And that these five guys before me were 100% right. The realism starts to get to the point where it's no longer a pre-thought. It exists and it's real. And so I think that with, you know, especially modern day technology and how communication is spread via phone and social media, a lot of the stuff 50 years ago that was kind of like hooey, right? It was just kind of a, you know, that's nonsense. It's not real. Today proves it is. So I think, you know, like I said, what you guys are doing is awesome, because at least it brings thought into somebody's mind who would have been closed-minded or even absent-minded at some point to right. be like, wow, these guys might be onto something. Like there might be some truth of what these, you know, loonies are saying or these kooks are saying, because, you know, but what you guys are doing is awesome. Like it's admirable, just because you could put the thought into somebody's head who would have been closed-minded 10 years ago to be like, this is very real. Like these are real things. So, you know, kudos to you guys.
Yeah. Now, another thing too, mathematics is a universal language.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Because when you start working out the math, it all falls in line. Every single bit of it.
1000% true.
Joe, unfortunately, we got to.
Yep, that's the end. Don't have
anything. We got an hour.
Don't have anything lined up for next week yet. So, and make sure you check out One Fun Guys podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. This was a lot of fun. I really appreciate the show.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Live in what, about an hour?
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun.
All right. Till next time, stay safe.
Remember, all right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Possible.
That it is.